leader.
No, that might be your niche. That might be your weakness that you got to, yeah, I figured. That might be your niche that you got to repent of, because the enemy will use your flesh.
Can I finish one piece?
Sure.
I don't appreciate getting interrupted, but so going back to the thing you're saying about how this music makes you dance, going back to the, I know this is—
Can I correct you? I said it's fleshly. It affects your flesh.
Affects your flesh. So going back to the Old Testament, which I know you don't believe that the Old Testament is the example to follow, but you see David—
Not today, we're in the New Testament.
Yes, but you see David, a man after God's own heart,
right?
He danced.
What was the context of David dancing?
I believe he was celebrating the birth of the child.
Nope, the ark. The ark was recaptured and being brought in. But here's the thing. David was the king, and even his dance, if you look up the dance, it said it was a whirl. So one time, David whirled in front of the people to be excited about the things of God. Who are we supposed to example in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 11? David and all those men of the old, or does the Bible tell us exactly who we're supposed to imitate in the New Testament?
We're supposed to imitate Christ as he imitates his Father.
And Paul. Yep, so you see Paul dancing? See Jesus dancing? That's who you're supposed to imitate. We don't kill sheep. David murdered and did adultery. Don't follow David. David was a godly man. He had to repent. But don't follow David. Don't follow the Old Testament, the New Testament. And by the way, if you want to follow the Old Testament and you want to say instruments, then get rid of all of this garbage instruments, New Tech stuff they got, and get what they had in the Old Testament. Harps, I called them bone rattles, drums, trumpets. They're using all the modern, even more fleshly instruments. They're not even using what God ordained. So you lose on that argument. If you want to go back to Old Testament worship like that, then you got to do it that way. And then you got to also follow all the rest of the stuff in the Old Testament that Christ did away with for us. So you're kind of picking and choosing what you're following.
But it's so, just sorry to nitpick, but going to the example of the instruments, harp, a guitar is just a modern iteration of the harp.
That's fine, the harp, but all the rest of them, the harp would be the only one. All the rest of them are outside of God. And again, you're rebelling against the New Testament. The Bible says to worship in spirit and truth. This is flesh. Instrumental music is fleshly, and you keep picking at that. You're avoiding all the pagan holidays, the false gospel, the worldliness.
Well, we discussed all of that.
I know, but you keep going back to the instruments because it's your love and desire. You know what God asks you to do? He asks you to lose all your desires for him. Lose your life. Just because you claim, by the way, you said you're a worship leader. Where is that in the New Testament, chapter and verse?
There's no specific example.
There isn't one.
But there's leadership.
Music ministry is not a biblical ministry. Not even in the New Testament. So you're living in the wrong testament, and it's going to crush you on Judgment Day. God's going to say, you did your way. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So I tell people you're practicing witchcraft. They laugh at me. Go read the Bible. If I rebel against God and say, I'm going to do it my way, God, I know better. That's witchcraft. Witchcraft is doing spiritual things better than what God had ordained. You think they're better. That's what witches do. That's what the covens do. That's what Satanists do. So if I say, oh, I'm going to put a rubber, all of us men have to put rubber chickens on our head when we pray. You'll laugh at me. That's witchcraft. God never ordained that. You're doing what God didn't ordain for the New Testament. And along with it, all these other ways. Can I help you guys?
No, we were just listening, actually. I'm kind of curious to know what...
Can I give you a gospel card?
Absolutely.
We're here preaching.
I appreciate you talking.
I love you.
Yep.
Call me, man.
Yep.
Call me, text me. I'd love to go deeper with you.
Yep.
Okay?
No, the reason why we came up to you guys was I just didn't think like something like this. Like, I definitely agree with what you're doing, but I didn't think something like this would be here. Like, why do you think like this is all worldly, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I just went through this with all these guys. I have a testing of this place. I have an article, and I show you why. Okay, let's start. Bob Lentz, the founder of this.
Yeah, I know that name. He came to my high school way back.
He believes that Roman Catholics have a biblical gospel and are his brother and sister. Do you know anything about Roman Catholicism?
Yeah, it's no good.
It's Bob Lentz. I got a picture on my testing of this. He's being prayed on, hands on his head, with a Roman Catholic priest. Bob Lentz is ecumenical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's a heretic.
I didn't know that.
Go deeper. His gospel, I think he's an evangelical. His gospel's not any better in the evangelical church. They keep the Roman Catholic pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter. You can't go to the Bible and show us.
Well, they also believe in praying to Mother Mary.
Of course, the Roman Catholics do, yeah.
That right there.
Oh, yeah. They're a total works-based pagan system, and Bob Lentz calls them brothers and sisters. So I'm calling him out on the internet on my testing. He brings in Skillet. You guys know who Skillet is?
You know what? I came here last year. I watched
John Cooper.
Saturday night. Those guys, I actually think there's something satanic about them.
They are. There is. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. One man out of all these Christians. You claim to be a Christian?
I do.
Okay. All these Christians tell me, oh, John Cooper's the greatest.
No,
John
he's not.
Cooper is a compromised...
I think he is.
Heretical. I call him a hooligan. What's a hooligan? Look up the word. It means someone that dresses in a defunct way to be different than the culture.
His wife had like purple hair. They were all tatted up. And they were doing some, I swear I've seen this sign.
Well, do you know where they play? People laughing at me. Do you know where Skillet's set to play this year?
Well, besides here tomorrow night, no.
Where? Hellfest.
You're kidding me.
Oh, that just speaks for itself.
That just speaks for itself.
He says he's going there to preach the gospel. He is not preaching the biblical gospel.
He's making, you know how much money these guys are making?
He's worth over $10 million.
Yeah, it's all about the money. So when
John Cooper
is
a, yeah, so these guys, sells the truth of God or sells this music. The gospel's wrong. The pagan holidays, the worldly system. This is entertainment. This is not worship. Worship is your everyday life lived for God in holiness.
Right.
When you're like the world and you're like churchianity, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping Satan. Has created this false system. He's a master deceiver.
Yeah, he is.
So let me ask you a question. If I had a counterfeit bill and I was going to slip it to you, you didn't know about it. I got a $20 bill and it's yellow. Think I'm going to fool you? What if it's green and it looks a really lot like the real original? You might slip right by you.
Most likely, yeah.
So Christianity. That's why the Satanists come to Christian festivals.
Right.
Because they can sneak in and trick
God. And this isn't even close to the things of God, but it has, they talk about Jesus, they talk about the Bible, they talk about grace. Here's what they are here, ready? They're drunk on grace. They're drunk on grace, and here's what it is. What is God? If you guys would describe God, you're being very gracious. How would you describe God? Give me some words.
Merciful, gracious, loving.
Faithful.
Keep going.
I mean, there's a list that just goes
okay,
on.
Okay, so you gave me one side. What's the other side of God?
Filled with wrath.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and everybody just walks around. So those cops. The cops are really nice guys while I'm keeping the law. If you and I start fighting, they're going to be honest, and they are going to bring us down. Everybody forgets about the wrath and the fire and the judgment and the holiness and the righteous. And the American churchianity pastors have made people drunk on grace, thinking we're saved by grace alone, faith alone. You're not saved by grace alone, faith alone. You know what you're saved by? You're saved by grace through faith, but it's never alone. What comes with it? Holiness.
Faith is all works.
Thank you. Yeah, James 2 says, I will show you my faith by my works. My works justify my faith. And so these people here believe God's going to forgive them no matter how they live. And I try my best. And I'm not a drug addict, or I'm not, you know, shooting at people. So God's going to forgive me. That's not God's standard. God's standard's way up here. And Christ filled it for us perfectly. I can't get to heaven without Christ. No way. But guess what? If you claim Christ, you got to be following him. You got to be obeying him as the fruit that his spirit is in you. It's called the what spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
Is it a worldly spirit?
No.
Is it a lie spirit?
No.
Is it a carnal spirit? Is it a compromise spirit? This is evangelicalism. They're all these things and they claim they have the spirit. But the Bible says it's a holy spirit. And holy means what?
Set apart.
Righteous.
Very good. You've been studying the word. Set apart. So you can't be in man-made religion, and you can't be part of the world. You have to be set apart. And the only reason I'm reaching some people that might be sheep of God today is why?
The only reason you might
why am I reaching? Why are you guys standing here talking to me?
Because we care about our eternal salvation.
But how did you see me?
Well, with the sign, but
I'm outside.
Oh,
if I was inside doing this stuff, you'd be going, oh man, oh cool, man, we're with you, cool. You go, all of a sudden, I'm calling you here to repentance, and you're going, what's that about? And everybody I've talked to today, I could tell that God's like pricking their heart with going, this is right. I'm not right. God's word is right. This truth is right. You need this truth. You have this sin. You need to repent of this. If you look, act, dress, live like the world, you're the world. Who is Jesus coming to judge? You got to repent and come out. And I was just telling them how we dress matters. How we talk matters. If you guys heard me preaching and I yelled out the F word, what would you think of me?
False teacher.
That's one word. So why isn't how we dress and act and who we associate with just as important? Right? One word will disqualify me. You know, if I reach out and punch somebody in anger, you're going to go, man, you're a fleshly carnal man. You're not a preacher. But everybody thinks they can live any way they want and God's just going to cover them with his grace. No. Do you know what grace is? Grace is not just unmerited favor. You get to do it all you want.
That's cheap grace.
Grace is the power to live the life for God in holiness and walk and follow after Him. He keeps giving you more, giving you the ability to rise up. You think I like standing out here and being an ire against all these people?
In the sense of obeying, but other than that, I'd say probably not.
No, it's not fun because I love people. I'd rather be y'all cool with everybody, man. This is awesome.
Do you think there's a right time and place for worship music?
If it's biblical, which would be just people... In Ephesians, we become the instrument. The Holy Spirit enters us.
Your voice. You can just sing. Yeah. So a cappella is just
That's what we see all over the New Testament.
That there is a correct time and place for worship music.
Yes.
Just not under these...
Well, not with inviting the world in. Not doing it with worldly carnal music. Not doing it fleshly. And here's what it is. The Bible says, singing hymns and songs to each other and unto the Lord. Okay? Have you never noticed something? I'm going to give you an important fact here. Contemporary Christian music. God says sing to each other and sing to Him. You know what everybody does with contemporary Christian music?
Sing about ourselves.
Huh?
Sing about ourselves.
I guess that is.
They throw it in the CD and you know what it is? It's a mood alterer.
It makes you feel good.
It's
a feel good thing. Right?
Man, I had a bad day at work. I'm rocking down with whatever band you love. And God goes, wait a minute, what about me? Look to me. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you the truth. I'll give you spirit. Sing to me. I want your worship. You're listening to these CDs. In fleshly, fake, lifting up, mood altering.
You know, I didn't think I was going to agree with him, but I can't believe I'm agreeing with him.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir. By the way, what's your guys' names?
Trey.
Tim.
Trey?
Tim and Trey.
Trey?
Tim.
Tim?
Yep.
I am James, and this is my wife, Debbie. It's a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Yeah, no, the question I had is I've kind of been struggling on this. Is baptism needed for salvation? The reason I say that is because I've been kind of doing, going
water
back to
baptism.
Like, water baptism.
Is that essential for salvation?
Because the reason why I'm asking is because I go back to the Greek, where the original manuscripts, Greek and Aramaic, I think, something like that. But the Greek word for, in Acts 2:38, is eis, E-I-S, and for be baptized for the remission of sins.
Right.
And that can only mean two things. It's for the purpose of, or it's for because of.
Right.
And if you look at Acts 2:37, it says, I don't even want to, like... too complicated, but in Acts 2:37 he said, Peter, what must I do to be saved, basically?
Right.
And then Peter, it wouldn't make sense for Peter to say, because I feel like I'm leaning to the side that baptism is for only because...
Is for salvation?
Is for salvation only because then Peter would be completely ignoring their question if it's because of in Greek.
Okay, so here's what will help you. So whenever you study the Word of God, is it a pretty big book?
I would say yeah.
Okay, so we don't just go by one page, one verse, right? So then we look and we go, what testament are we living in? The new. So now we've got it narrowed down.
The context.
Right? And I would, context. And I was just telling the men that were here before that we do keep some pre-Torah things. We don't keep Torah today, and then we keep the New Testament. And we can get there if you want to talk about that. But going back to that, keep reading.